belief, okay, that just keep the Ten Commandments and you'll be fine, has to do with the story that we read as we began this morning, the story of the rich young ruler. So we want to take a look at that, and it's in the different gospel accounts. We're looking at Matthew's account, Matthew chapter 19. The man comes to Jesus and he says to him, "What good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And that's basically what our main question is all about, isn't it? What do I need to do to be saved? That's what he was asking Jesus. What do I need to do to get eternal life? And then Jesus talked about, you know, as was read, you have in your notes there, you know, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone, and so forth. But they focus on this statement. Jesus says, if you want to enter life, do what? Obey the commandments. Well, see, there it is. Jesus says, plain and clear, if you want to enter life, keep the commandments. So isn't that what we need to do? If we want to have life, we want to be saved, we just need to keep the commandments. Well, as the conversation goes on, the man asks Jesus, which ones? And we've talked about this before, as if, you know, the idea says, well, do I have to keep them all, or which one specifically do I need? He wants a list. And Jesus goes through and kind of humors him a little bit, I think, and gives him a list, so to speak. And the young man says, all of these I have kept since I was a youth. Okay? Now, here's an idea. Here's a thought. If we go by the premise that says, well, the reason we need to do this is simply because Jesus said to do it. All right? Well, do we really understand the context that is being taught and what context Jesus is saying to do that? Here's an example. In Luke chapter 5 is a story about Jesus healing a leper. Okay? Now, after Jesus healed this man of his leprosy, here's what he told him. Don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. So here's something that Jesus told this man to do, all right, in reference to the commandments. This is part of the law of Moses. When he said, offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded, there were certain rules and sacrifices that, a procedure that was to be gone through when someone was healed of leprosy. It was all prescribed by the law. In Leviticus chapter 14, verse 2, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy is be healed in the leper. So the priest is to examine. That was what was prescribed by the law. All right? Then, here's what Jesus was referring to when he told him to offer the sacrifice commanded by Moses. The priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought for the person to be cleansed. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over fresh water in a clay pot. He is then to take the live bird and dip it together with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. Seven times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the defiling disease, and then pronounce them clean. After that, he is to release the live bird in the open field. So this is what Jesus specifically was referring to when he told the man to go show himself to the priest and offer the sacrifice prescribed by the law of Moses. Okay? This is what he was referring to. Now, we could say, all right, well, if Jesus told the man, the rich young ruler, keep the commandments, and since Jesus said to do it, that's what we're all supposed to do today, well, he told this man, under this circumstance, to do this. Does that mean that anybody that's cleansed of a disease, or specifically of leprosy, or whatever, are supposed to offer this same sacrifice today? Leprosy still is, by the way, I don't know if you realize this or not, it is still a big, big problem and disease in parts of the world today. It has not been eradicated, in other words. So anybody that has leprosy, if they're cleansed of that leprosy, are they to offer this sacrifice today? If we go by the basis that because Jesus told them to do it, then we're to do it also, we're going to run into all kinds of problems with lots of things that Jesus said to do if we take them out of their context. And we don't understand what is really going on there. That's what's happening here. So that question then comes, are we to offer those sacrifices today because Jesus told him to do that? The answer is no, we are not. It really comes down to an issue of who is under the law, okay? We need to understand that the law was given only to the Israelite people at Mount Sinai.
Amen.
All right? It was never given to anyone else. Look at a couple of things here. At Mount Sinai, this is what the Lord said to Moses. This is what you are to say to the house of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. Okay? Out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. And it is with that that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Now, who was it that God gave those Ten Commandments to? It was to the Israelites, and to the Israelites alone. Okay? The Ten Commandments are really the foundation for the rest of the law of Moses that was all given to the Israelites as a nation. That law was never given, and it was then never intended to apply to any other nation on earth except the Israelites. So therefore, the Ten Commandments, as part of the foundation of the law of Moses, does not apply to anyone except the Israelites. Everybody follow me on that? Okay? In Galatians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul is arguing against the imposition of the law of Moses onto Christians today, notice a couple of things that he says in chapter 3, verse 10. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Okay? So, you know, if you're going to follow the law, the idea is you've got to do all of the law.
Amen.
And that means all of the sacrifices and all of the other things that are part of the law of Moses. You can't just keep the parts that you like. All right? In chapter 3, verse 25, it says, now that faith has come, we are no longer under the supervision of the law. And then in chapter 5 and verse 3, again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey what? The whole law. Every bit of it. So here Paul is arguing for, and specifically at that time, about Jewish Christians. Okay? Jewish Christians, those who were under the law of Moses, but are now under the law of Christ. He says, if you put yourself under that law, you've got to put yourself under the whole law.
Amen.
And the whole law then applies to you. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14. Again, Paul arguing about salvation by Christ and by faith rather than following the law. Says, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. So we are no longer, even those Jewish Christians are no longer under the law of Moses. And by the way, for Christians, Gentile Christians, which is, if you're a Gentile Christian, raise your hand. Okay, that should be everybody, okay? Because I don't know of anybody, if you're Jewish, then Jewish Christian, and you're here this morning, that's great. We're glad to have you here. But I don't know of anybody that is, That means the rest of us are all Gentile Christians. The law, including the Ten Commandments, has never applied to us.
Amen.
Okay? It never applied to us. We have never been under the law of the Ten Commandments.
Right.
Or any of the law of Moses today. All right? James chapter 2, James says, "For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point is guilty of how much of it?"
All
of it, he says. So again, the idea that you cannot just pick and choose which parts of the law you want to keep, including the Ten Commandments. So just say, "Well, all I have to do is just keep the Ten Commandments." Is that true? The answer is no. Okay? Just keeping the Ten Commandments isn't what we have to do to be saved. Alright? If you want to focus on keeping the Ten Commandments, and by the way, as I mentioned earlier, the whole idea of keeping the Sabbath, that was all part of the law of Moses also. If you want to keep that part, then you're obligated to keep all of it.
Amen.
You see? Not just the parts that you want to follow. You got to keep the whole law. And then there is finally that one thing. Okay, we go back to the story of the rich young ruler. Right? Jesus told him that he still lacked one thing. Remember, he had been keeping the law, right? Jesus pointed out to him, and he said, "All of these things I have kept since I was a youth." Well, here's a question for you. If he was keeping the commandments but still lacked that one thing, then just keeping the Ten Commandments is not all one has to do, just based on that idea, right? Because he was keeping the commandments, and Jesus said there's still something else you need to do. So just based on that statement, we know that just keeping the Ten Commandments isn't sufficient for that. What was the rich young ruler's problem? It was his stuff. Okay? It was his stuff. He did not want to be separated from his stuff. His stuff had come between he and God. And the Bible then tells us that he went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus' point in this conversation with this rich young ruler is that we are to obey God in all areas of our life. Okay? Not just one or two areas, or that we even look at a couple of areas and say, "Well, you know, those are for me. I'm going to keep those for myself." But it's in all areas. If we obey Him in everything else, but we hold back the one thing in our life, then we can easily, just like this rich young ruler, miss eternal life. Because God wants it all. God is a jealous God, the Bible says. And He wants it all. He wants all of us. Not just the parts we want to give Him. By the way, as we talk about our contribution and all of those things, God gives us everything that we have, right? So it all belongs to Him anyway. Get one amen on that?
Amen.
It all belongs to Him, right?
Amen.
Okay. So we give everything to Him. God gives us back what He wants us to use for Him and His glory. Think about it that way.
Amen.
And you won't walk away from Jesus sorrowful. All right? One thing. One thing. That's all it takes to come between you and God, if you're not willing to let go of that one thing. So here's a question. Is just keeping the Ten Commandments what one needs to do to be saved? The answer to that is no. That will not work. That is the wrong answer. So if you are talking with someone about salvation and they make that comment to you, "Well, all you have to do is keep the Ten Commandments," then that's somebody you need to talk to a little bit more and to show them some of these things that we've been talking about this morning. All right? They were never under the Ten Commandments to begin with. Okay? And part of the reason, by the way, for that is, even if they are Jew today or Jewish Christian, then the law of Moses was abolished on the cross of Christ.
Amen.
Okay? And so, so if they were born after Jesus, which anybody living today was, right? Am I right on that? I got the numbers calculated right on that, right? So they would never have been under the law of Moses or the Ten Commandments in their entire life. Okay? So the Ten Commandments don't apply to them to anyone any longer. You see, the right answer to this is that we need to obey God's law for us today, which is the law of Christ. And how much of the law of Christ do we need to obey?
All
of it. All of it. Not just pick and choose which parts we like and that we're going to keep and the other parts to ignore, but we need to keep all of the law of Christ. So as we sing our invitation song, here's a question I want you to be thinking about. In your own life, in your relationship with God, what is your one thing? If you were to have that conversation with Jesus and ask Him, what do I still lack, as this rich young ruler did, might Jesus say something to you, give you a one thing in your life that you need to change, that you need to do, that you need to overcome?
Yeah.
You see? And that's a challenge. It's a call for every single one of us to look inside personally and ask ourselves. I know for myself, I admit to you, through myself this morning, I know I have some things, not just one. Some things that I am working on, because I know I need to work on those things. So that those things do not prohibit me from entering the kingdom of heaven. And I'm challenging you, each and every one this morning, to look at yourselves in the same way and ask yourself, is there one thing, or maybe a couple of things, whatever it might be, anything that would keep you from entering the kingdom of heaven? In other words, are you keeping God's law in all of the other areas, but this one thing that you struggle with letting go of in your life because you want to hold on to? I'm challenging you this morning to let go of it so that you don't walk away sorry. Tom has chosen a song for us to use as an invitation song, and so we extend the invitation to anyone. And this morning I'm just asking you, think about it while we're singing this song. Is there something in your life that you need to let go of? If you need help with that, you need encouragement, guidance, whatever it might be, then let us help you with that. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him, and I'll be right up front to receive anyone that would like to come up. And of course, the Lord's invitation is open to anyone who is not yet a Christian but would like to give their life to Christ this morning. If you're not a Christian, you're still separated from God by your sins. But the great news is that you can have those sins washed away this morning, right now. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then call upon Him as your Lord. Repent of those sins and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. All you got to do is come up and let me know. Let's stand together and sing.